This is a Renew Studios Network podcast. Faithful, uplifting, family focused.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Howdy, y'all. Jackson here. Welcome to the ranch. Let's read a book.
Welcome to the ranch. Spread the word and take a look. Welcome to the ranch. Grab a friend and read a book. Welcome to the ranch. We're so glad you came to play. Welcome to the ranch. We sure hope you want to stay.
Strap Buckner was a man of genius. And his genius was to knock folks down. When Stephen F. Austin showed up here in Texas with 300 families wanting to settle, Strap knocked them down one by one as a way of saying welcome.
Ouch.
He even knocked down the great Austin himself so he wouldn't feel left out. Because his spirit was as gentle as his strength was great, he took any who were scratched or bruised in the knocking down back to his cabin and tenderly nursed them back to health. Then, with an air of unspeakable grace, he knocked them down again. Strap began to notice the folks of San Felipe steering clear of him. There some would conclude this was because they were plain tired of getting knocked down. But that would be an ordinary thought, and not one that would grace the mind of Strap Buckner. "It is ever thus with a man of genius," he lamented, "to be misunderstood, shunned, avoided by the common folk of the world." A great salt tear rolled down his cheek, bounced off the shoe of his boot, and knocked down an insect that was happening by. He resolved to leave San Felipe. "Fare thee well, Strap Buckner," called the settlers from behind doors shut tight. "Fare thee well, San Felipe," Strap bellowed tenderly. He traveled west. After many adventures too numerous to relate, he happened on a solitary trading house, at which place Bob Turkett and Bill Smotherall were engaged in swapping goods with the Indians of the area. His heart swelled at the sight of human company, and he forthwith knocked down Bill Turkett, Bill Smotherall, and every Carnaquan brave within a 10-mile radius.
Ouch.
He even knocked down Chief Tuluacoma so he wouldn't feel left out. The chief was so impressed, he named Strap Red Son of Blue Thunder and presented him with a horse that was ugly and lank to look, but swifter than a Texas wind. Strap built himself a cabin of cedar posts and settled in with his swift gray nag. Daily he went forth and knocked down men with great grace. But the day came when he went forth and met with not a soul. The settlers of the area had slipped away in the dead of night, leaving him alone and desolate. He wept for 2 days, pondering the price of his genius. "Like a towering mountain, I stand alone," he wailed. "Such is the penalty of my greatness." Into the middle of his wailing came the voice of his better spirit. "Strap, hast thou not glory enough? Hast thou not knocked down nearly every man in Texas? Forsake thy genius and seek peace, gentle peace." Strap smiled and raised his arms heavenward. He resolved to live in peace with all humanity. But the devil never can let a man's good resolve go unchallenged. That very day, he devised a mighty temptation. Riding along his swift gray nag, Strap came upon 22 Carnaquan braves holding a meeting right there in front of his newly peaceful self. Strap stepped into the middle of the gathering and bowed nobly. He thought on his greatness, which his better spirit reminded him was enough. And he thought on gentle peace, which his better spirit reminded him was sweet. And then his genius overcame both those goodly thoughts and erupted like a volcano. He let out a whoop and knocked the braves down one by one. With never a thought to their scratches and bruises, he leaped astride his swift gray nag, galloped to the trading house, and knocked down Bill Turkett at the door and Bill Smotherall as he tried to escape. His erupted genius broke all bounds in its quest for glory and greatness in the eyes of all men. He sprang to the counter and smote the air with his iron fist. "Behold in me the champion of the world. I challenge any man to take me on," he crowed. "I wager my swift gray nag. Who will take this wager? I challenge the old devil himself." No sooner were the words spoken than a dark rumbling sound issued from the forest around. It swelled and grew till it rattled the earth below and the heavens above. Strapped leaned on his swift gray nag and rode back to his cabin. By the time he reached home, the rumbling sound had become a storm that pounded his cabin walls with the force of an evil invasion. There came from without a concussion so violent, it appeared the very hills were being toppled. When Strap recovered from the sound, he beheld on the floor before him a sinister figure, not 3 feet high, with two red horns and cloven hooves of a bull. His face showed great age and infinite villainy. It was the devil himself. "Thou hast challenged me, Strap Buckner, and wagered thy swift gray nag," he said. "I accept thy challenge to a duel, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, under yon oaks. Give us thy hand on it, Strap Buckner, skin for skin." They clasped hands and shook. The devil shrank up and departed through the keyhole, leaving a mighty smell of brimstone in his wake. "Tomorrow the world will sing my glory," Strap crowed. His pride blinded him to the notion that things just might go another way. He lay down to sleep while the elements waged war outside his cabin walls. Day had a time of it trying to dawn. When it finally succeeded, Strap put on his buckskin garment, whistled for a swift gray nag, and sallied forth. "The hour has arrived," he said. The infernal fiend was immediately before him. "I will lead and thou wilt follow," he said. He marched on before with his tail coiled over one arm till he reached a cluster of oaks, bearded with moss. "Now is the hour and here is the place," he announced. Strap turned his swift gray nag loose to graze and faced his evil adversary. He found the devil grown to enormous proportions. He towered over Strap and twirled his tail in the storm-blackened sky till it struck fast in a cloud. "Thou art a coward to fight me on such unequal terms," protested Strap. "Regain thy size and I will lay aside my only weapon." Strap tossed aside his iron pestle and the devil shrank. Only thing was, he forgot about his tail hitched to the cloud, and he found himself dangling from the sky upside down, blown backwards and away on the wind. It was the hand of Providence offering Strap one last chance to admit he might need a strength bigger than his own to win this one. Once again, he was blind to the very notion. "I will conquer thee with my own great strength and with help from neither man nor Providence," he vowed. He used his iron fist as a springboard for the devil and gave a mighty heave. The devil coiled up to the cloud and unhooked his tail. When he bounced back to earth, he saw the pride in Strap's eyes and heard the echo of it in his boast. There's nothing weakens a man who's facing the devil more than pride, and nobody knows that better than the devil himself. "Skin for skin, Strap Buckner," he said, and the battle commenced. Back at the trading house, Bob Turkett and Bill Smotherall listened all day to the tangled up noises of the fearsome storm and the hideous battle. Toward evening, quiet fell, and they dared to crack the door and look out. They beheld a swift gray nag riding through the sky with a villainous form in the saddle. Flung across the back of the horse was the worn-out figure of a man. Nothing was seen or known of Strap for upward of 3 months. Then one day, he appeared out of nowhere, riding through the settlement on his swift gray nag. He went about his business as if things were just like normal, but he was changed. He knocked no man down, and not a boastful word fell from his lips. After a time, he disappeared again, as mysteriously as he'd come. Bob Turkett and Bill Smotherall claimed they spotted him one last time after that. According to them, they saw a great blue flame rise over the valley. On top of the flame was a horse, and on top of the horse rode a gigantic man with bright red hair, waving an iron pestle. On the horse in front of him was the very same villainous form, cowering in fear. Who's to know if Bob Turkett and Bill Smotherall are telling the truth? But if they are, it could just be that Strap finally came to know that the thing that really needed knocking down was his own pride. And it could just be, once he realized that, he gave the old devil what for.
This has been a Rogue Media Network